whisper something to him. Just tell God. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how grateful you are to be in his presence. Tell him how grateful you are tonight to be in his presence. The Bible says sinners shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous. Sinners shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous. Here you are numbered. You are not numbered in the church. You are numbered in God. That is why you are here. You are numbered in God. We don't count church members. We count citizens of Zion. Can you give him thanks? Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Most times our greatest problem is that we can't talk to the one we need to talk to. You tell every other person every other thing that is going wrong in your life. But the one that has the powers, the one that has the solution, is the one you never talk to. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Whisper something. Whisper something. Rahamanda Brastas, Sobrena Tabaliga Baranda Sobria, Rakabanda Bracto Zuzubela Baranda Dariastas, Rakunde Sabarino Soberata Sabarana, Raina Tapali Gabranda Zazali Kapara Babaria Namata, Lika Babarada Zabanda Baragada Baboria. Zela kapaparina sonde paradias. Anlo marakate sobre nataliga bandu. Thank you, Father. Shambra nata zuzurina marada bandere digas. Shepakato zuzundri paradadus. Tear yourself up in the Holy Ghost. Stir up your spirit, man. Stir up your spirit, man. It's a building up yourself upon your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourself. Building up yourself. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen. If you want to grow in God, one of many things you need to begin to consciously do is to engage scriptures practically and see the efficacy of scriptures in your life. Then you begin to gain experiential faith. If your faith does not travel from theoretical faith to experiential faith, you will never grow in God. And you will not have the capacity to alter the affairs of your life that have existential implications. You may stand up when your brother is sick or somebody is dying, and then you go and start shouting the name of Jesus. You don't believe in it. If you don't engage the simple ones and grow thereby, the Bible said, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The question is, how many times do you build up when you pray in the Holy Ghost? So you will not know that you don't even believe in the things you are reading. They are just rhetorics or religious cliches that you were taught to know. And then you think it will work. You have to consciously begin to engage the scriptures that have pragmatic effect. And then you build like that. And then when you come to areas where you don't have understanding, by that time, your faith has grown. Some can't even talk to God. There are few times you meet people that can speak into your life. Most of the times, you are the prophet over your life. And you don't notice why your life is not moving. You are the one talking the most to yourself. And most of the things you say, you don't believe them. So there are no effects. There are no positive implications. Can you talk to Jesus for a moment? The service will not last for more than 2 hours. But you have a lifetime of working with God. Talk to God. Talk to God. If you believe that if you tell him, he will hear. You will say it with a different motivation. If they call you now and say the governor wants to grant you audience for 5 minutes. You will just be noticing. If the man acts as if he wants to be generous, you will begin to download all your problems. Because you believe that he has the capacity to help you. If you believe in God, your interactions with him will be different. Your communication towards him will be different. Your attitude, your responses to him, they'll be different. People come to the presence of God and they are so down. So down. It's just another religious gathering. You don't even have expectations. People don't even come with expectations. Meanwhile, the law of the Spirit is that the power of God walks in the direction of your expectation. It's a shame if a righteous man has no expectation. What will God attend to? What will he do? Even the ones he do, you will not know it and you will not believe it because you are a natural man. It won't make sense. It won't make meaning to you. Talk to Jesus. Sarabanda Bragadasus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you glory. Sura Baba Natala Gaburi and Dila Zaptas. Ora Gabali Gabandra Bara Baba Bunderi Gapara Dadiasta Bala Baba Barianda Dara. You want to take a flight in the spirit? You want to build up in tongues? You want to ascend to high places? You want to touch the energy level? You want to go to high places? Rakopate Kabarina Sapata. Revanata Barianda Paradadas. Rakabanda Parosto Separania. Liga Bombre Nascaparedos. Rakopa Tekabaria. Ramina Tapa. Retozondro Fatapare. Omala Tarahina Mate. Sagabranda Branda Soto. Rekabaliga Para Sandra Paradadas. Sika Pateke Bondo Paratatalia Talimata. Zetombra Kate Kabaria. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Listen. The power of God is a tangible substance. It's not a psychological sensation where you talk people to a place and then because they have gotten emotional, you strike a chord. No. It's a tangible thing. Most times the reason we try to minister in the spirit after the meeting is because we want to instruct the hearts of men before we begin to minister. Because if you begin to minister in the power, the decorum is distorted. It's not because you want to get people to a place before you can now begin. No. It's a tangible force. If it is there, it's there. If it's not there, it's not there. Get this religiosity out of your mind and begin to engage God pragmatically. One of the obsessions of spirits is to be trusted, to be believed. If you come around God and you are doing a psychological stunt around him, the statement you are making is you are telling him you don't believe in him. You may go by for a long time, but God will detect that action because he judges your heart. He's seeing your intentions. Don't play around. Don't play around. Be focused. Be objective. God has the capacity to meet you at the point of your need. Can you ask God for something before we begin the teaching? Just whisper something to the Lord as quietly the way we are now. Just whisper something to the Lord. Maybe you didn't come for the meeting with an expectation. You have a ticket now to do so. Whisper something to the Lord very quickly. Ah, But it's going to be in a strange way. It's going to be in a strange way in that it will not be the way you know it to be. It will be in a strange way. As I speak now, there is somebody that has pain on the chest. On the top part of your chest, there's been a pain there that when you want to swallow, it's as if something is literally being inserted on your chest, at the top part of your chest. There's a pain. Before the service is over, it will vanish. You will know that you don't necessarily need hands to be laid on you. Things happen on their own accord when you come to the presence. On their own accord, because the presence of God has the capacity to doctor your challenges and to bring solutions. You will just find that it goes, it leaves like that. The pain. By the way, who's the person that has pain on the chest? On the top part of your chest. Top part of your chest. You find it difficult to swallow, as if it's a weight on your chest, very heavy on your chest. I'm not saying, can I see the hand? The other one? Okay, it will vanish before the service is over. Nobody will minister to you. You just know it's not about the laying on of hands. There are so many things that can happen in the presence of God. I have a knowing in my spirit that there's a lady here. I'm not seeing. It's a knowing in my spirit that there's a lady here that the spirit of death have haunted you for almost 2 years now. You are just afraid that you will die, you will die, you will die, you will die, you will die. You are afraid. The fear of death. The Bible says fear brings torment. It will just go. Then you know it's an energy. It's not just you thinking. It's a demon trying to bring you under bondage. The fear will just leave like that. Give you glory. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for coming. I want to salute the pastors in the house. Our very old father is here, Reverend Shala Uka. Can you give Jesus a big hand? Mighty man in the kingdom. Reverend Tony George. Reverend George Agbike and Mommy Gudu. Give God the glory for His work and dealing in your lives, for being a blessing to us. Tonight I want to share with you something very quickly, and I'm going to be using scriptures, alright? Because what I want to share with you this evening is to give you an assurance beyond traditions, the traditions of men. It's to give you an assurance beyond the philosophies and the ideologies that you have come about by listening to too many persons. You know, sometimes when you listen to too many persons, there's a chaos, because there will be a conflict of ideas in your mind, and you will not necessarily know what to believe. You know, I told us the last time, I said one of the things that creates fear is a sense of uncertainty. And uncertainty comes when there is no definition in understanding. You don't know exactly what to believe. You believe too many things, and it may not be serious, it may not be an important issue until there's crisis. You know, you may be know so many things about healing, so many things, and it may not matter until you are sick and you are dying, and suddenly you are in the hospital, and then the doctors come around your bed, and then somebody examines you, and then he calls another doctor, and then he calls another doctor, and then you now see four doctors stand, and then you are watching. Maybe you were sleeping, you now open one of your eyes, and then you see they are doing like this. You will know that there's a problem. At that point, you will realize that unless God comes through for you now, because you will sense somewhere that this thing don't pass this doctor's power, then you will now begin to check your mind, check your spirit. What do I really believe about healing? Should I call somebody to come and pray for me now? You now begin to check your phone. Which man of God will come and pray? And then you are now trying to exercise your faith at the same time. You won't know which one works, because that contradiction was there. You never straightened it out. Maybe all you believed about healing was that if a man of stature lays hands, something will happen. Now you are sick and there's no man of stature around. Then you find yourself in a terrible crisis. At that point, you will discover that, oh, is this how I'm going to leave this world? If you reach a point where you are defeated in your mind, know that the battle is already lost. If you start asking yourself, is this how I'm going to leave this world? You have left already. Unless mercy speaks for you, you are gone. I want to share certain things with us today that we are going to begin to exercise our faith consciously in order to have definition in life and to have victory in every affair of our life. Because like I said, the best helper you will get for your life and destiny apart from the Holy Spirit is yourself. You will think people are praying for you until somebody has a crisis and says, sorry, my sister is about to die, please pray for me, stand with me in prayer. Then you say, yes, I'll stand in prayer. You go home, then you sleep till the next morning. You will now remember by 10 o'clock, I didn't pray for this person. Then they will say, the person have died. The same way you didn't pray for the person, that's how many people are not praying for you. You will say, the intercessors, they are praying for me. They are not. If they remember you, thank God. And if God puts a burden in the hearts of people, you know, when you start working for God, the reason He puts burden in people's hearts is because it is natural for people to forget to pray for others. You are the best help for your life apart from the Holy Spirit. And you need to know how these things work and then engage them. The emphasis I'm bringing tonight is something that is going to orchestrate a paradigm shift in your mind. The Holy Ghost began to teach me, said, what conducts the power of God is your mind. You may come under an atmosphere full of power. You will not make use of it. For those of us that minister, we know what we are saying. You can be in a meeting, people are falling everywhere. And then they will stand up, go back, sick and demonized. If you want to help them, then you will consciously begin to channel the power. You begin to break the chains. You begin to command the sicknesses to leave. Else, the people will enjoy the atmosphere and go back in bondage. Because the power of God is an intelligent substance. It must be conducted. And for your own life, if you don't know how to conduct the power of God and direct it to definite emphasis and definite challenges of your life, you will know that you sense God, you touch God, but you will not have results. How many of you have been to that place where you are praying and then every time you go to pray, a hand is touching you. So when they are giving testimony, they say, how many people have experiences with God? You jump up. Every time I pray, my right hand is on fire, but it will not amount to anything. It has no use. That your right hand is on fire have no use until wisdom comes as to what that thing is, and you know how to channel the resources of that substance. That's why we have a lot of experiences, and experiences have become our God, but there is nothing happening on the landscape. A lot of people boast of many encounters, but there's nothing to show, because there is no shift in the mind. The guy is having encounters with angelic beings, but he's a slave in his mind. He's dwarfed in the mind. So even though God wants to help him, there is nothing God can do about it. The best way God can help that man is to begin to help his mind. There was a young man in Judges chapter 6 who sat down lamenting all his life. Where will God save us? Is he not the God they told us did miracles and saved our fathers from Egypt? Is that God real? Is God real? Some people have even become atheists because they came to a point. They say, why is evil everywhere in the world? If God is there, why is there evil? Why are people dying? No, I don't think God is there. Somebody asked Rabbi Zacharias. He said, if God is real, he said, God is not real. Rabbi Zacharias said, why? He said, if God is real, why is there evil everywhere? Rabbi Zacharias now asked him, okay, if you say there is evil, it means you are also
assuming that there is good.
He said, yes.
He said, okay, if you're assuming that there is good and there is evil, it then also means you're also assuming that there is a moral law on the basis of which you can distinguish between good and evil.
He said, yes, of course.
He said, if you're assuming there's a moral law, then you're also assuming there's a moral law giver.
The guy said, yes, probably.
He said, okay, if you are assuming there's a moral law giver, it then means that you are affirming that there is God. You are not disproving God. You are actually approving that there is a God. Because if there is no moral law giver, there is no moral law. If there is no moral law, there is no good. If there is no good, there is no evil. So what is your question? The guy had no question. He's a confused man. Why is there a problem? We are in bondage. They say God is there. They say God delivered our father. You may not know that's what was going on in his mind. Until the angel came and saluted him, he said, thou mighty man of valor. In heaven, the guy was a man of rank. But he was dwarfed on earth in his mind. He said, that's how the angel saluted him. Thou mighty man of valor. And the guy, he had not even spoken with the guy. The guy began to lament about the crisis of the people. That means he had an accurate and a legitimate body. But the capacity to fulfill was also there. However, the mind was his cause. He had a burden to deliver the people, which was correct, because the emphasis on the calendar of heaven at that time was deliverance for Israel from the hands of the Midianites. So his burden was correct. He also had the capacity, because he was not lacking in capacity. As far as heaven was concerned, he was a mighty man, and he was also a man of valor. His crisis was his mind. And when the angel finished, he said, go in this thy might. They didn't add any might to him. He said, go in this thy might. Everything the guy needs is already in him, but his mind was cursed. If God wants to begin to help you, he begins to shift your mind. If there's no shift in your mind, there is little or nothing you can do. Bishop Oedipo said, every man's calling is equally high, but everyone will determine the height of his calling. There are many of us, God have appeared to you and told you are called, but you are waiting for that time in the church where they will stand up and say, Abba Benedict, can I prophesy to you? Then you say, yes, man of God. And then when you come, you say, you are an apostle to the nations. And then you turn and see, is the church full today? Okay, let the people know. When I say I'm an apostle, they think I'm joking. Now, at least God is confirming it. Let them hear. He has missed the emphasis. Meanwhile, my friend is it's not like that. I love this man. So somehow the name just came to my spirit. But that's the challenge with most of us. We are looking for the approval of men. There's a curse. It works in the mind. And if the devil gets you down in the mind, he has finished with you. It doesn't matter how anointed you are. I want to show you tonight the sevenfold dimensions of the power of God and how you will begin to engage it consciously. You know, today I'm not coming to you as a revivalist. So it's not necessarily a Puritan capsule. Your soul may not be steered. But if you learn this principle, you'll begin to give birth to the dimensions you have been impregnated with since you were born. Some of us are mighty. Come on, laugh and give me sound now. Don't you now, you want to dwarf me in the spirit. The first dimension of the before I even begin to mention the dimension, let me show you something. The Bible began, the Bible opened up by proclaiming the existence of God. The Bible never tried to defend whether God was real or whether God was there or not. It just said in the beginning, God. Whether you believe it or not, that's your business. Because the being want to talk about his credentials cannot be read out. You can't read out his credentials among men. There's nothing he wants to prove. You know, the reason you try to validate things is because you want to verify the authenticity of that thing, the veracity of that thing, the credibility of that thing. This being doesn't need to be verified. You don't need to prove him. He's all by himself who he is. So the Bible didn't bother trying to tell you that God is real. God is. He said in the beginning, God. And the first introduction that he gave God revealed him in two dimensions. The first one is that he's a being of mystery. So the word God is the word Elohim. Elohim means the existence of three in one. Perfect harmony in plurality. It's a reality the mind cannot capture. Before you can understand the intricacies that govern the operation of the Trinity, you must go to a higher dimension. Your mind can't capture it on this plane. You know, if you are existing on a plane, all you know is a line.
And the guy existing in the reality of a line, he cannot understand three dimensions. It's not possible. Because line is just one. And then when you are existing as a shape, you exist as two dimensions. If you see a square, all he knows is two dimensions. Either horizontally or vertically. That's correct, right? If I'm vertically or horizontally. If you tell a being operating in the reality of a shape that you can be in a room like this, he can't understand it because he doesn't know the Z coordinate. But you are operating in three dimensions, so you know that it's possible for eight squares to be one. This building you are seeing now is eight squares existing as one, and that's why you can be in this building. There's a box, there's a square here, there's a square here, there's a square here, there's a square up and down. So you know it's possible because you operate in three dimensions. Now, when you talk about the possibility of three being one at the same time, it is a reality that is a bit higher than your plane of reference. So you can't understand it. So the Bible introduces God, first of all, as a being of mystery. And secondly, the Bible introduces God as a being of power. Because the word Elohim means almighty. It means it's not just mighty. Every might is in him. It is from him that might originates. So he reveals God as a being of power. So for instance, they ask you, who is God? If you say God is the being of power, you are correct. That's how the Bible introduced him. He's a being of power. And everywhere you see the name of God mentioned in scripture, you cannot define God apart from power. After he was introduced as Elohim, the next time he was introduced is Jehovah Elohim. And the word Jehovah also refers to the Almighty, that has the authority to judge iniquity. And the reason he has the right to demand righteousness and justice is because everything belongs to him. If I hold this shirt now and tear it, you can't come and trouble me. Say, why is the tearer? Is it your shirt? But God can demand from the fallen man because he owns creation. So that revelation also speaks of him as a God of power. The first man that began doing business with him intimately, that gave him a name, was Abraham. He called him the El Shaddai. And the El Shaddai also is a revelation of power. Having the capacity to supply all and without himself depleting in essence. God is the only being that keeps giving, but never depletes. It's a statement of a strange kind of power that cannot be understood. If you think it's a joke, begin to run around this building. When you run two times, you will notice that you deplete. Your energy will keep, you will lose energy constantly. That's one of the greatest challenges of science. And it kept science at one spot for many hundred years. It's until they discovered the principle of quantum mechanics that they understood that it's possible for an electron to move at an energy level and not emit energy. Before science got there, they were stagnated. But the revelation of God as the El Shaddai reveals him to be constantly supplying but never depleting in essence. Everywhere God is mentioned is power. Is power. And then the Bible came and began to reveal another species that came out of God. And he said that species was created in his image and likeness. That means if God is a being of power, you are an offspring of power. The reason most of the times the Bible goes through the route of explaining the lexicons of the reality of God is so that when he tells you you come from God, you begin to see yourself from a higher plane. It's possible for you to judge yourself by everything people have called you. It's possible to look at yourself by the value system of the world or the values that have been placed on your life. But just in case you look at the scripture, that's why the Bible said the scriptures are for exhortation. They are for edification. They are for instructions in righteousness. You may be at a point where they say you have no value. Suddenly you look on the scriptures and they tell you who God is. And then the next time you begin to read, they now tell you you are the child of God. It will first of all begin to confound your life. Because your life may not conform to the dimensions of the God that you came out from. You know, when Bishop Oyedepo began in 1986 that we are gods, everybody fought him. He said, if a goat gives birth to a child, what do you call it? It's a goat. He said, just in case this revelation is too big for you. He said, if a lion gives birth to a child, what do you call it? It's a lion. He said, if God gives birth to a child, what do you call it? And the church could not receive it for many years, more than a decade. But the truth is, you are an offspring of power. The Bible said in John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, as many as believed, to them he gave power to become the sons of God.
So you can never be the child of God except power is a cardinal expression in your life. If there's no power in your life, it's either you are grossly in ignorance or you are not really a child of God.
You know, there is a doctrine now that everybody is talking about character, talking about purity, talking about fidelity. And then there's a phrase that is not well explained, grossly misunderstood. With power you shake the world, but with character you keep it. If you don't have influence, who cares about your character? Have you gone to the burial before and say, what's the character of this dead person? The reason character is important is because there is impact. So they know that if you have the wrong character, anything you impact, you will transmit the wrong character. So impact is equally important as character. Jesus was a man of character for 30 years. He didn't shake his community. But the day power came, the Bible said that it might be fulfilled. Prophecy began to speak immediately. Prophecy gained utterance and vocabulary. That which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet in the land of Zebulun, in the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness. So Jesus was sitting in darkness with them, with good character. It's when power came that light sprung up. So the salvation of the people was based on power, not character. If you are a person, a believer, and there's no power in your life, no matter how good you are, you'll be a puppet in the hands of the devil. And let me correct something. Even the character you speak about is a manifestation of power. That's why many people try, they keep rules, discipline, they try to do this. You don't know what is happening. Demons. Oh my God. Have you heard about a familiar spirit? Have you heard about a familiar spirit? One of the capacities of a familiar spirit is telepathic powers. A familiar spirit can come and transmit thoughts into your mind. And that thought can begin to germinate your mind and rule over your life. Especially if you don't know how to deal with it. I told them in Zaria, I said, Christianity is a move of power. Without power, there's no Christianity. Jesus told them, he said, not many days from now, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. There are many things the Holy Ghost came to do, but the one Jesus pulled out was power. Because when power comes, every other thing can be achieved. He told them, tarry in Jerusalem, Luke 24:49, until you are endued with power. It's not about the Bible, you know. You can go to a place. One of our friends went to Kogi State and he stood on the altar. The guy walks like this. So when the anointing is on him, the shoulders become broader. And then when he stood on the stage, he quoted some scriptures. And then he said he wants to judge this land. That there's evil in this land. Suddenly, something hit him on the left side and he fell. Have you seen a preacher fall on the pulpit before? From that day till now, it's as if he has mental challenge. You think you want to do the business of spirit without endowment? If a spirit doesn't empower you, that spirit has set you up. Any spirit that sends you on errand and doesn't empower you, that spirit has set you up. So before you can do business for spirit, you must walk in the reality of their power. And there are sevenfold dimensions of the operation of the power of God. One of them is called supernatural assurance. You have assurance beyond the encouragement of people. You don't go to preach and then talk boldly because somebody comes and tells you that God will use you greatly in this meeting. When I was praying in the spirit, I looked into the heavens of God and I saw an angel descend in the meeting, and as you stood and you were talking, the angel on the right, light was coming out of his mouth and people were falling under the power. And then on the strength of that utterance, we now say this meeting will be great. Maybe the person was imagining. You ancient Zion King, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
Power.
See, the economy of power is one of the most significant economy that you will ever interact with in the spirit realm. If you have not traveled into power, you have not started living. You are still a being manipulated grossly. You may not know. You may talk big about yourself. Hey, the devil will allow you to go high before it crashes you down. Power is the only thing you can build your life on. It is a sure foundation. It's called power. And the first dimension of the operation of the power of God is supernatural assurance. Jesus, they sent people to arrest him. The guys went, they came back. They said, nobody spake like this man. They've never a man spake like this. The guy will stand up and say, as the living Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself also. He didn't say his life came from. He said it's the same life that the Father has in heaven now. That is the same life I have. Can you talk like that? He said, God have mercy. Oh, mercy, Lord. Most of the prayer we pray is unbelief vocalized in words. As the living Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself also. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down by myself and I take it up again. This commandment have I learnt of the Father. You can't kill him. So when they came and carried stone, he would just laugh at them. The other time they carried him to the edge of the brick. They wanted to throw him. He allowed them. When they reached the edge, he now confounded them. He manipulated the constellations. And time became still. And then the Bible says he walked through their midst. Power! There is assurance in God. Apostle sent me to Zaria this weekend. There were over 4,000 people. I told them, I said, Zaria will scatter. The place will scatter. I said, I will set the place on fire. I'm not going to pray. There's assurance in God. It's not my prayer that will make it happen. It is part of my ordination. When I pray, I go to enforce the things that were written concerning me before the foundations of the world. Before I started representing apostle, I'm a representative of Jesus Christ. I'm not come and say, this shoe that I've come to wear is big. What shoe? I'm a representative of Jesus. If Pastor Tony sends me now and I can't go and I send you, is it me you are going to represent? It's Pastor Tony you are going to represent. I couldn't run the errand, so I transferred it to you. And if I'm going to represent Jesus, I'm going the same way Jesus went. He said, as the Father have sent me, so send I you. If God is sending me different from the way he sent Jesus, it's unjust. And the Bible says God is not unjust. It's the same things he sent Jesus with that he's sending me with. As a man, Jesus walked with four advantages in life. The first is eternal life. The second is the Holy Spirit. The third is angels. And the fourth is faith. You have the four of them. Those were his advantages in life. You have eternal life. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the faith of the Son of God. And you have angelic ministry at your disposal. God can't send Jesus differently from the way he sent you. Or why will you do what Jesus says you do? Do you think you are an apostle because that's how you are before the world began? You are an apostle because you are a part of the extension of the dimensions of Jesus' ministry. The Bible says, who shall declare this generation? So it's what Jesus is doing, was doing, that he handed over to you. It's the ministry of Jesus you are fulfilling. None of us has a ministry. Is the ministry of Jesus that was willed to you. And it's the same resources he has that you have. You need to have assurance. If you don't have assurance, demons will manipulate you. Have you gone for a meeting before you get 3 words of knowledge, nobody came out? If you don't have assurance, your soul will deflate. And the meeting will just scatter. Nothing will happen with that meeting again. Your soul will deflate. Demons, you are talking, the people know they are there, but they won't stand up. They want to stand up, so they hold them down. If your assurance is in what you see happening, you are finished. If they like to stand up or not, you keep talking. Have you gone for a meeting where you say, Holy Ghost, touch them, nobody go under the power? People don't get blessed because they fail. People get blessed because we proclaim the blessing. And in our words is the Spirit of God. Whether they fall or they don't fall, the word enters their spirit. So your falling down does not validate what I'm doing. And my confidence is not in you falling down.
My assurance is in God.
You have challenges in life, and then you are crying every day. What if demons begin to fight you? What if spirits are mobilized from hell and they say they will kill you? What will you do? Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you are not strong in the Lord, you can't do business with power. It's what you have assurance in that will determine what you can wield in the spirit. That was why David rejected the armor of Goliath. He had confidence in God. When he came to Goliath, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defiled the armies of God? You know, when you talk like this, some people say you are proud. Meanwhile, they are the ones who are proud because they believe in their ability. You are talking because you believe in the ability of God that is at work in you. They who believe in their own ability are the ones who are proud. Your boast is in the Lord because you know it's not about you. It's about Jesus. So you talk based on the capacity of the God that is on your inside. They talk based on what they have done. I do a lot of fasting. There are times where I fast through the whole year. But I will never tell you it's because I fast that things happen. It's because of the perfect work of Jesus Christ. The perfect work of redemption. My fasting is to help my soul ascend in God. If my fasting can pay the price, Jesus wouldn't need to come. You need to have assurance in God. You need to have assurance in the love of God. And your assurance is not based on the results. Have you heard the apostle tell you here? And they say if you have results, if there's result, then it's accurate. It has nothing to do with results. Results are byproducts of intimacy with God, byproduct of organic realities in the spirit. The Bible said in Habakkuk 3:17, it said, although the fig tree might not blossom, there might be no fig on the vine. He said the field might fail, the labor of the olive might fail. There may be no head in the store. He said, yet will I have confidence in the Lord. Whether something is happening naturally or not, I have confidence in the Lord. And I am joyed in the God of my salvation. Because he will cause my feet to be like hind feet and cause me to walk in my high places. Manifestation, beautiful. Without manifestation, I am still who I am in God. That's why a lot of people cannot see great things in God. They limit everything to themselves, and you are very small. Maybe you have not checked well, you are very small. Check very well again, you discover you are very small. You are very small. If you see some beings in the spirit, you will faint. The spirits that are manipulating things in the constellation, if you see them, you will faint. A principality sat over Babylon, and he had the whole nation spare bound. One principality called the Prince of Persia. Is that a being you want to fight? You don't know what you are talking about. Your confidence must be in God. That is why you must keep talking what God says. You are sick. Yes, you are sick. Yeah. They brought the best consultant from London, and he said nothing can be done about it. Well, he has tried his best. There is something else, you know. He said, let no one in Zion say I'm sick. He said, by his stripes I'm healed. And you keep talking it to yourself until your mind can get it. Assurance in God. A lot of Christians don't have it. That's why they don't see the power. If there's no confidence, the power can't flow. Most don't have it. Forget the big things we say. It's when we see challenge that we know how strong we really are. You know, you can come for a meeting and say, the Lord will heal everybody here. You will be shouting it until you see a cripple. They are pushing somebody, you know. Is that a crippled person? Then when you see the cripple, you say, by the mercies of God, things will happen in there. There's no assurance in God. You keep building your faith. You keep exercising your faith. Who told you whether it failed will determine whether you are accurate or not? That it failed does not mean you are wrong. That it failed does not mean you are in error. Do you know how many patients die in the hospital every day? But it doesn't shake the confidence of the doctor. As far as he's concerned, if he can diagnose your sickness, he knows the drug has the power to deal with it. It's not about him.
All he needs to do is to know what is wrong with you, and then know the chemical that can deal with it. And then he sends the chemical into your body. If you die, that's not his problem. He's only a conductor of the operation. There's a challenge. All you need to do is to administer the word of God. Whether it works or not has nothing to do with you. Your job is to believe it. If a doctor gives you a pain reliever and the pain doesn't go, you say, ah, are you sure?
Do like this, let me see. You will shake your head. It's okay, you give you another pain reliever.
As far as it's concerned, it's pain reliever that is the cure. And if you die in the process and the next person comes and say, I have pain, it's the same drug you will give the person. And then even if three people die, the fourth person comes and say, I have pain, it's the same drug. If he diagnoses you for malaria, if there are 100 of you, it's the same drug he will give. If 99 dies, it doesn't change the prescription. That's confidence. Do you have assurance in God? No. You believe in things. So you came for meeting. You say, Lord, move! And then nobody fall. The next three meetings you go, Lord, we'll not move again. Supernatural assurance. You must train yourself to come to the point where you believe God. Most times when you have challenges, God, that is the last alternative. And like Pastor Tony said, your heart is already hardened before you came there. You have come to a point where all you have seen is death. That's when you want to apply God. It will work. Eternity.
Eternity, you are the spirit of worship.
Come to a point where you believe something beyond your doctrine. Believe beyond your doctrine. Trust in the Lord. He said, they that trust in the Lord, they are like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. You want to see the power of God work in your life? You must have confidence in God. You must have confidence. Don't come to a tight angle and because you don't have a choice, you call it trust. It's not confidence. You actually didn't have a choice. If you have a choice, you apply it. So what most of us call faith or call confidence is actually a condition where we have no other choice. Seven dimensions for the operation of the power of God. The second thing is what you call supernatural provision. When you do your budget and you plan, do you give space for God? And then when you run and nothing is there anymore, you start saying, I know my God will provide. I know my... When you were planning, did you create space for God? You are now psyching yourself. Oh, my God will provide. My God will provide. Do you believe God will provide? You see, the advantage of the Christian is the supernatural. Your advantage is the supernatural. It's not what you know. You are sent to all the world for God's sake. You go to some places, you meet only professors. What do you want to tell them? Your advantage is the supernatural. And you must always learn to maximize it. Apostles say you attend to your least potentials in the flesh. But unfortunately, most of us walk only by our potentials. It's only what you can create for yourself that you plan your life around. Somebody is planning for a whole month. He says, all I receive in the month is 10,000. So he reduces his life and the totality of his reality to 10,000. There's no window for God. No window for God. You give him 5,000. He will spend 10 naira today. And he will calculate it such that he will have to give like that and live like that till the end of the month. There's no window for God. In Deuteronomy 8:18, he said, you shall believe in the Lord your God, for it is him that giveth thee power to get wealth. There is a power that is available in this kingdom for you to get wealth. Your expertise are beautiful. Your skill are beautiful. But beyond your skill, there's an influence of the Spirit of God that makes a difference.
And if you don't take advantage of it, you will find yourself competing on the same scales with the unbelievers. And the one who is smarter than you will excel better than you. There's a system in the spirit that provides you supernaturally. You must acknowledge it, connect to it, and maximize it. He said, woe unto the man that trusteth in man. That is you inclusive. If your trust is yourself, your trust is in your father, your trust is in your uncle, you say you are woed. Woe unto that man. And he said, the moment you trust in man, something has happened that you are not aware of. He said, whose heart departed from the Lord. The moment you put your trust in a man, your heart has moved from God. You will not be aware. Woe unto that man. He said, he shall live in the parched places of the wilderness. He shall not see good when it cometh. Because good, sometimes when it comes to you, it is shrouded. You need the eye of the spirit to see it as an advantage. Abraham was trusting God for a child for 24 years. The day the child was coming, it came in the guise of three men strolling past his house. And he looked at them, he said, Sirs, come. Quickly, let him provide something for them. On their own accord, he said, the next time of life, your wife Sarah shall be with child. You trust in yourself, you can't see good when it comes. You will only see your efforts, and most of the times, your effort will not be sufficient. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he shall perform the pleasures of your heart, the desires of your heart. There's a dimension of you that causes God to go to work on your behalf. See, tomorrow there's this supernatural supply. But if you allow yourself to come to a tight angle where you begin to trust God for it, you will be in trouble. The children of Israel lived in the wilderness for 40 years. The Bible says they lacked nothing. They lacked nothing. They lived supernaturally. Why do you budget and plan all your life based on your effort? How much can you do in the first place? And sometimes you don't take stock, so you don't know how much God is already doing. And that is why God can't do much more. Some of you are students here. What you spend, if you take stock in a month, you'll be shocked. But there is a way you can train your spirit, train your mind, and you consciously begin to live like that. Your supply is in heaven. Jesus taught them to pray. Say, our Father, who art in heaven? Who art in heaven? Is to tell you that your father brings you supply from a realm that is beyond your realm. Every other thing you are doing is fine, but your advantage is in the spirit. The word father is the word pater in Greek. In Hebrew is the word fundus. It means God is your sustainer, he's your nourisher, and he's your provider. But the God that provides for you does not provide from earth, he provides from heaven. So you must create a space in your mind where you trust God to provide beyond all your effort can give to you. You can't live based on all you can give to yourself. You will die. Somebody say hard work does not provide wealth. If not, the wheelbarrow pushers would have been the wealthiest people. There's supernatural supply in God. And it's by faith we connect with. You say, well, if I say it and it doesn't happen, what if it doesn't happen? All this while that you have not been saying it, has it been happening? So what is wrong in trying? At least build your faith. You think so much of failure that you keep yourself in perpetual failure. There's supernatural supply. And that's supposed to be the life of the believer. I'm coming to pray for the sick. You think I'm carrying healing in a basket? I need to learn to trust God that when that hour comes, he will provide healing. And the same thing is something what you apply to every area of your life. When the need comes, God will answer. Consciously build it. Consciously.
Spiritual things are the most definite things, and they are the most strategic things that you must do consciously.
I was sharing with them when I went to minister at the College of Medicine last week Friday.
You took 6 years to train as a doctor, and you are still having errors, still having challenges. People are dying.
But when it comes to spirituality, you think it's a magic. You just say it happened. And then when it doesn't happen, you say, these Christians, they are fake, they are fake. Why not do medicine for 1 week?
You have to be on it, be at it, and work it until it comes out. The Bible says, work out your salvation. You keep at it until it begins to manifest.
Thou shalt decree a thing, it shall be established unto thee. You may say it 10 times, it doesn't happen. Keep saying it. Paul said, according as it is written. He didn't say according as they saw in the mountain, they saw in the spirit realm, or according as men of stature. He said, according as it is written. They believe and have spoken. He said, we, having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. We are not speaking because we have stature. We are speaking because we believe. And what did we believe? What was written? It's what was written that he believed, and he kept speaking it. He said, the things that are written aforetime, they were written for our learning, so that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. That's why the Bible was written for you. It's not a storybook. The guy did it, it happened. You do the same, and it will happen. Because what makes it happen is the economy of faith. God is not a respecter of person. We don't practice. We think Christianity is not a life of practice. We think Christianity is a life of spontaneity. We think Christianity is a life of impulses. So you came for a meeting. That day they are praying. Then you begin. Kwa, kwa, sakababa, huwa, huwa. And then because you think you told, the thing will happen. Have you not noticed that your mountains have always remained looking at you? It's not a matter of impulse. It's a practiced lifestyle. You give yourself to it. Before you do anything in this life that will give you desired result, your life must be spent on that thing. Ask though you for the past 6 years, when last you had a 3 weeks break? 1 week at home is too long. It's too long. Even when the school gives them 2 weeks, they say, no, we will take 1 week. No. What? Because for her to be a doctor, her life must be sacrificed on the altar. Nothing comes to the hands of a lazy man. You labor your way forward. He said, rise ye up. Take up thy journey and go beyond the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto you Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon. He said, but begin to contend with him in battle. If you have given me the land, why do I need to contend? He stand up, lie down. God will provide all my need. You will die there. You take advantage of it. You engage it with your mind. You engage it with your mouth. You engage it with your hand. Because if you lie down, you are a desolate being. He said, I will not allow you to take over the land in 1 day. Because the white beast will arise and devour you. God needs you to grow in capacity so that he can manage the things he gives to you. If you don't develop capacity, you can't manage. What he gives you will be a waste. Supernatural supply is a possibility in the spirit. It is replete in scriptures. Everywhere you read, you see supernatural supply. Either of the anointing of resources that is needed in life. You come to a Christian community, that's where you see the most beggarly people. And then we console ourselves and say, oh, we are going through a process. Oh, we are in the wilderness. The people that were in the wilderness for 40 years, it was because of their unbelief. The plan was not 40 years. The journey was a journey of 18 days. The idea was not 40 days. The reason it became 40 days was because they refused to believe God. God told them the land you are going to is the land flowing with milk and honey. They went, they were seeing giants. Was giant part of the citation? He said they are like grasshopper. He said they are a people of an evil heart. Because when you can't believe God, he sees your heart as evil. And he said, because you have said it to my hearing, I will give unto you as you have said. Every day will become 1 year. If you read Exodus to Deuteronomy, you will discover they were walking around the mountain. They were not going anywhere. You will see them come to Horeb. Go around again for another year, come to Horeb. It's the same place. I wonder why they didn't know that it's the same route they were following. Meanwhile, they were bound to walk, to follow the Holy Spirit. Because what you call wilderness is actually a product of unbelief. It's a Holy Ghost stagnation, according to Reverend Heaves. A Holy Ghost stagnation to correct your heart. Did you not see Jesus? Carried people to the mountain for 3 days. And in the evening he said, what do you have to eat? Carelessly. The people came. Are you being serious? This place is far from town. We have been here for 3 days. Are you not aware we've not eaten anything for 3 days? Is it now you are now waking up to ask what we have to eat? Well, we can't give them anything to eat. He said, you give them something to eat. Are you alright? Even a whole year's wage can't feed these people, sir. What are you? Are you still here? He said, what do you have? When they saw that the man was not thinking from their realm, all they had was 2 fishes and 7 loaves. They said, okay, since you talk like a madman, take what we have here. Let's see how it will serve 4,000, 5,000 men. And they gave thanks. There was no plan. There was no budget. He came with God. The Bible says he gave thanks. And he broke it. He said, give them. The person that collected it from his hand, I wonder how the person was thinking. Give who are the them? Only few loaves. You say, where do I start from? Even with the apostles, will this one be enough for us? Okay, let me give them with myself first. And as they broke it, it multiplied. A point came, they were in the ship with Jesus. And Jesus said, be careful of the unleavening of the Pharisees. And they began to talk among themselves. Maybe he's asking for bread. And Jesus was vexed. He said, why are you of an evil heart? He called them an evil generation. He said, did you not remember the 5,000 men and the 2 loaves and the 2 fishes and 5 loaves? Did you not remember the 7,000 men? Why are you still talking about bread? Jesus needed them to understand that there's an economy in the spirit that provides supernaturally. And he expected them to believe in it. Jesus was vexed that at this level they could not believe in supernatural supply. Why would you still be talking about bread? We have a handful, we fed 5,000 men. And you are still talking about what is wrong with you? And that's how most of us are. You had in school fees, you were crying, and school fees came from nowhere. And then the next day you have a need, and then you are crying as if there's no God. Where was the God that helped you when you needed school fees? Is that God dead? Or has he lost his capacity? You need to understand the economy of supernatural supply. Spirits are excited when you can rely on them. That's why one of the names of God is El Shaddai. He wants you to know him as the supplier. He's humongous when it comes to supplies. Cast your cares upon him. That's what they like. They like it when you cast your cares, because they have capacity. The third dimension is supernatural protection. If you don't know these things and exercise your mind consciously, you may think Christianity is about euphoria, excitement. You feel it's about the intrigue of the present. They say, Holy Ghost. And then you see some angelic dance. They will do angelic dance like Tai Chi. When you have crisis, angelic dance will not help you. This is not a beat to talk down anybody. Me too, I have those experiences. Sometimes in my room, the power of God turns me up and down. I fall down and I weep for hours. We all have the experiences. But I'm telling you that there is a place beyond that. You need to come to a place where you know that me, I no go die for road. You tell yourself. See, sometimes you need to tell yourself. Oh my God, my ketchup is here. Thank God. I will not move in power again. Thank God. This man walks with open heaven. So you are set up now. I move. See. You don't know if demons put you on high jump. I can't die. I cannot. Me, I can't. You tell yourself you can't. Because why? Why can't you die? Because he that is with the Lord. Did you not hear it? Even if the whole hair gather together against me, they can't get me. Chief, don't read the scripture. He said, gather together, you shall scatter. Take counsel together, it shall come to naught. Speak the word, it shall not stand. Why? Because our God is in our midst. If they like, let the whole villagers, you know, sometimes if you don't understand when they are talking about deep things in the spirit, you may begin to make wrong assumptions. The reason we take time sometimes to explain to you the things the devil do is so that you don't come to a point where out of ignorance you set yourself up. Because most of the things you say, they empower spirits. That's why most times you hear, they tell you things about ancestral patterns and the rest. It's not to put you in bondage. It's to let you know that these possibilities are there. And when you know they are there, you will stand on your guard. It's not designed to put you back in slavery. Where you call, you say, maybe it's the people fighting from my village. Fighting which village? Who are the people? My destiny began from the cross. Me, my past died on the cross. And I don't care what you believe. I don't care your theology. Any spirit that comes to me, where are you coming from? He paid the price for a full package and I received it. You can't come and intimidate me with it. If you like, call the names of 500 ancestors. I'm not moved. I began from God. He said God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So everybody that comes to God is reconciled to him. I belong to God. And so I have assurance that he's jealous over me. When you see, what do you think is the confidence of the pastor? When you want to travel and you come and meet the pastor and he say, go, you shall be preserved. You think it's because he has stature? It's because he knows God says so and God is committed to his word. He believes it, you don't. The day you believe it, you stop going to the pastor to pray for you before you travel. My confidence is in the Lord. I've discovered that where you see the highest number of babes is in prophetic ministries. There are only two mature believers there. One is a prophet, the other one is his wife. Every other person runs to them. Papa, 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 papa. People who cannot fast and pray for 3 days, they will lie on the veranda for 3 weeks waiting for the prophet to come and say, it's where. You wait for 3 weeks for the it's where. You are a babe. Go and get pampers in the spirit and wear. He said, when ye ought to be teachers, you have need of being taught the first principles of the oracles of God. He said, strong meat, it belongs to them who by reason of use have exercised their senses. The key word is exercise. If you don't exercise your senses, you will never grow. Walking with milk and pampers in the spirit realm. Think that you are in church for 30 years, you are mature. Most of the people are pampers Christianity. Pampers Christian. Pampers wearing Christian. Say prophet, sir. Ah, prophet. Sometimes when the prophet is passing, they will just come and hold his shoe and put their head on the shoe for 5 minutes. And then they will make you feel prophetic action. It's because they are living with ignorant people. If a man has understanding, that thing will disdain him. It's not of God. Supernatural protection. You grow. You come to a level where people can come under your own atmosphere. Because they are connected to you, things can happen to them. Did you not notice? When the battle of the kings, when they took Lot, Abraham didn't go to consult with God. When they told him they carried Lot, he said, what? He carried 318 trained servants in his house. He went after 5 kings. It doesn't matter their number. The guy knows that for him, heaven will move to ensure that no one hair of his head falls to the ground. Men grow, they come to a point of strength. The Bible spoke about Joshua. This guy has protected Israel to a level where neighboring kingdoms, they come to beg him to protect them. The children of Gibeon were to be slain. And when they said to Joshua, "Don't worry, go and relax, we are coming." The guy came and destroyed the Amalekites and the Assyrians. He destroyed them until it was getting late. And a man stood and said, "Let the sun stand upon Gibeon. And let the moon remain on the valley of Ajalon." And the Bible said the sun hastened not to go down for a period of a whole day. You may not know the implication of that scripture. It is not given to man to manipulate the constellations. The authority you have has nothing to do with the constellations. In Job chapter 38, verse 31 to 33, the Bible says, "Can you bind the sweet influences of Pleiades?" He said, "Or loose the bands of Orion?" He said, "Can you comfort Mazaroth? Or can you charge Arcturus and his son?" Those are constellations. It's not in the region of men to command constellations. That's what God was saying. He said, "Do you know the ordinances of heaven, or how they are established, their dominion are established on the earth?" Men don't have power to command the constellation. But a man grew in a place of assurance that for him heaven will move. And he stood and said, "Let the sun stand." He said, "Let the moon stand." And the Bible said there has never been a day like that. There will never be a day like that in the day that God hearkened to the voice of a man. If you dare to believe a spirit, you will see wonders. The reason you don't see things happening in your life is because you don't dare. Pastor Chris Akinome said, "Put God on the stage, he will not let you down." You come from, I was in Zaria on Saturday. Oh no, on Sunday morning. The power of God was moving. I commanded sicknesses. When I called for testimony, people came out. A crowd of people came out that were healed. I said, "If you are sick in the congregation, lift your hand." And people, a lot of people still lifted their hands. I said, "What? All of you come outside. You will be healed now. It's not broken. And if you are not healed, tell me here. Let God embarrass me if he sent me to Zaria to embarrass me. You will be healed now. Me, I know I believe." And we prayed for them. They were healed. I touched one guy like this. He was under the power for 24 hours. And that's the second time it is happening. I was in Lafayette for NCCF State Conference last 2 weekends. I was ministering around 12 a.m. in the morning. The power of God hit a lady. They brought the lady to me around 11:30 in the morning after my morning session. Because I had 2 sessions, midnight and morning. She was still shaking under the power, uncontrollably. I came as a man of stature. I said, "Let the influence reduce. Let it reduce. Let it reduce." Oh boy, the lady was still shaking under the power. And I said, "Don't worry, God is doing something." Allow the Holy Ghost. Allow the Holy Ghost. When he finished what he's doing, that lady was under the power until I came to Makodi the next day. She was under the power of God for 28 hours. But if you tell me now, go and release the power of God to somebody, and then I'll start thinking in my heart, can this thing happen? Can it not happen? There's no assurance. That day will never come again. I believe in the power of God. And the power of God is not just for people to be slain. It's that same power that protects you. He said, "Even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you shall fear no evil." Why? Because the Lord is with you. Your confidence is not because you are a mighty man. The Lord is with you. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You can come to a circumstance in your life where everybody give up hope. It doesn't matter. The Lord is with you. Have you come to a point where you trust God? When I travel, most times I sleep. That's why I can travel for 7 hours and go straight and begin to minister. Most of my long meetings, I travel that day. The other time I went, they just carried me from the park. I didn't shower. I went straight to the altar. After traveling for 7 hours. Because when I'm traveling, I sleep throughout. People will shout, "Hey, blood of Jesus." I don't know what they are saying. After all, the beauty of life is not how long you live. It's the impact. And I'm on my way to make impact. So if I die, it's a beautiful death. Instead of lying on my bed and die, then they say he slept in the Lord.
I better die on the mission field. Let me die on the mission field so that it will be on record that I was battling with Satan. And the person that the anointing will fall on will be a warrior. Because the person who went down was a warrior. Don't trust God. Believe God for God's sake. Believe this thing we are doing. That's why I tell people, don't be religious. Stand and be worshiping God. If the power of God has not taught you, worship God and go home. It doesn't happen because you fell down. Most of us, most of the time we fall religiously. That's why we don't believe in the power of God. If the power of God taught you, you can't doubt it. You are praying in your room, your hand begins to shake. You try to stop it, it's shaking. You hold an iron, you hold your chair, it's shaking. You know there's something on your hand. You are not acting, something is on your hand. A point came, God said, mind the things you touch, because my power is invested in your right hand. I know there's power here. Sometimes when I decree and things don't happen, I go and begin to touch the people, because this one, God told me there's power here. So if I can't conduct power with my words, there's one that he told me. You can't doubt it. Why every time you do like this, you fall and you know it's religion. When you have crisis, you can't believe. But if you know the power of God works in you, when there's a circumstance, you channel it. You channel it. You channel it. You know that's your advantage. They said they will kill you. Say, me? Do you know me? I'm born of God, brother. I'm not from this world. Jesus was walking on earth. He said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. The guy had, he was bilocating. He lives in two places at the same time. If you want to attack here, the one in heaven will superimpose. Not me. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Do you know who you are talking to? You can't kill me. You can't. I will not die and say, thank God I died. No, you can't. I will war with you. The Jesus me I know is the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. You may know the Lamb. Me I know the Lion. You can't kill me. You can't kill me. Have assurance in God, brother. They say, who are you? You begin to shake like this. The Pharisees came with their intimidating look. And they say, who are thou? And John said, I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. How dare you? You want to say you are the one that fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy? Yes, I'm the one. I'm the one. It's me. Now me, they see like this. Now me. Okay, why are you baptizing people? The one that sent me, the same said unto me, the one upon whom the Spirit has a light upon and wait is the chosen one. I came baptizing because it's a strategy to identify the Messiah. I am in business with God. Some of you may brag that I know the governor. I don't have that time. I do business with God. When you have such assurance, people will say you are a proud man, I assure you. But you can't talk from the realm of God and not be seen as proud. Some people came listening to apostles and they say, kai, this guy is proud. They don't know. They think he's talking like them. People who their assurance is their uncle who is working in Chevron. And every time they talk, my father is a politician. Oh God, I'm talking from heaven. So you can't relate with me. My assurance is beyond everything you know. And it doesn't matter if I'm trekking. You may not even be seeing the result now. But I'm not talking based on result. Is that thing I'm talking that will produce the result? God is your protector. He's called Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of hosts. He comes with an entourage of the angelic. He's called Jehovah Ra, the God of war. That's who protects you. And just in case it looks as if nothing works, all I need to do is to talk. He said he confirmed the words of his servants and he performed the counsel of his messenger. If I talk, even if I'm not inspired, it's the words of his servant, he confirms it. Believe in the protection of God. It's a dimension of the power of God. The power of God is not falling down. Most times God overwhelms you because he wants to do something in your life that your distraction won't let him. The power of God is a tangible thing. You are sick, it's time to channel the power of God. You are poor, it's time to channel the power of God. The fourth dimension, I don't have time, there's no time now. Maybe we'll just leave the three so that we can minister to the sick.
I'll just mention it. Go and do your research. The fourth dimension is supernatural wisdom and insight. You want to build your life and a system, what you need is the power of God that works as wisdom. It's a true wisdom. It's an house built. And by understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, the chambers are filled. If you are doing something and it's not working, you lack understanding. You need a power called wisdom. Wisdom. The Bible says it is the principal thing. It says get it. And in all that getting, get understanding. Those are tangible ways of operating in God. Young people nowadays, we are so proud and proud over nothing. You are praying, you are ministering to 10 people in 4 months. None of them have seen any promotion anywhere. And every day we come, we do like this, they fall down. We do like this, they fall down. And we say, oh boy, we have power. The guy who can't get admission can't get it. The person who can't marry can't marry. The guy who is sick is sick. He say, you are full of power. You are apostle of power. It's self-deception. Your power has no proof. There's no pragmatism to your power. You can't impart existential realities. When you pursue God for tangible things. Thank God for what He's doing, because we are not the ones making it happen, but there's more in God. People are slain. Glory to God. I'm not the one making it happen. I don't even know how it happens. I just see people falling and shouting. But there is more in God. The guy that came to me did not come to fall down. He came because he has cancer. She came because she's buried. She came because she can't get married. If there is power, it will address that thing, because that's the reason I'm ministering to her. And you must begin to practice it as a believer. Because these operations are not for men of God. They are for the believers. He said, go into all the worlds. Disciple all nations. And you may think discipleship is just to teach them about the ways of God. Power is part of the ways of God. Teach the people that there is a way to live supernaturally. He said they went boldly, speaking the word of God, and the word, the Lord confirming His word with signs and wonders. Isaiah said, I and the children the Lord has given me, we are for signs, we are for wonders. If you were in his generation, he said, see, imagine this proud man. So because you can give one or two words of knowledge. You know, when you quote this scripture, you don't take time to reason the context. Those of you who are in Bible school, they will teach you hermeneutics. And you see laws of biblical interpretation. It will help you to see the scripture better. He said, tell Zacharias, him and the men that sit with him, they are men that are greatly wondered at. It's not men trying to make people feel they are supernatural. People wonder at them. Because everything they do has a supernatural sphere. Others may be talking. When you rise to talk, people, this is a supernatural thing. I heard a story about my sister here. They say in the College of Medicine, if you don't go for ward round for 1 week, there's a high tendency that you fail that course. In fact, when they see you, they will pursue you. And here is this sister. She left for America and spent 1 month. And then she was snappy in America. And then the lecturers were liking it. Meanwhile, if you don't go for ward round for 1 week, what will happen? We failed the course. When she came back, she passed. Other people that went for ward round throughout, some of them failed. You can't explain it. There's a supernatural thing at work in your life. That's what makes the difference. And if you don't have the mentality, you will live beggarly and you think you are pleasing God. You know, some people, when they act poor, they think they are pleasing God. They will just be acting humble. And they are pleasing God. You don't know how God talk. Go and read the Bible again. Every time Jesus speaks, highlight it. Then when you finish highlighting everything Jesus said, go through only the things Jesus said again. And then you understand that kings don't beg. Jesus doesn't know how to talk small. He comes, they bring the sick, he said, be healed. They bring somebody who is a sinner, I say, your sins be forgiven you. And then people say, what is this man? This blasphemy. What is he saying? That's how kings talk. He said, where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what dwells thou? You can't tell me anything. And humility for me is not an act. It's a life of God walking out through me. So I will tell you what the Bible says, but I know that I need to be humble before God. There are two different things. Timidity is not humility. Supernatural protection. He said he causes his angels to encamp around his people. Do you know that angels walk around you constantly guarding you? The Bible said even the children that don't know their left from their right, he said their angels stand before God every day. And people don't, yet believers don't have, they don't have assurance about anything. You want to travel from here to Abuja, you need to. There are many things you shouldn't pray about. The energy you emit from your soul, we handle it. As you are coming to the road, you are coming like a bulldozer. Every demon will clear. They will clear. Because you have told yourself that if they try anything, if they try it, they will be expelled from the earth realm. The energy that you are emitting, you know, spirits interact with your thoughts. A car just hit gallop, your mind, it will take the next 5 minutes to gather yourself again. You didn't know you have made a statement in the spirit realm. The beings have seen fear traffic from your soul. Pastor Chris said when he was learning how to walk in healing, if he hit his leg on a stone by mistake, he's not thinking of what to say. But because he kept telling himself, I can't be sick. I can't. Sometimes you'll be in the room when the anointing is strong on him, he say, I can't be sick. You think he's fighting with somebody. When you put your ear, it's dropped. Then you hear him telling himself, I can't be sick. A point came when he hit his leg on the stone by accident. He said, be healed. It's not, oh, Jesus, be healed. The mind has been trained. He has trained his mind. He has exercised himself to discern. Oyedepo came back from a mission field, and the wife said, their cousin doctor had already diagnosed and said, this thing is miscarriage. Say, no, it can't happen. And the Bible, he said there was no secret prayer. No, it can't happen. It's not because it's Oyedepo. He has trained himself like that. The area you exercise yourself is the area of your strength. They went for a meeting in Liberia. It was falling continuously for 6 days. The meeting was to start the next day. He came outside and stood. He said, if one drop of rain fall from heaven, let fire fall. They were there for days. The cloud was dark as if it was night. Not one drop. Not one drop. They came back the last night and a tall black object left the room. He said, so the devil came here to wait. This night, let nobody pray. Nobody should pray this night. Shame on Satan. You program your mind. The day the challenge will come, it will be bigger than you. If you don't build your faith to tame the mountain, the day you collide with the mountain, you will faint. And he said, if you faint in the day of trouble, it's because your strength is small. Not because God is not there. And if you like, go and say, God, you don't exist. Why? There's no answer. There's no answer to your why. If you want to know why, check the scriptures and build your faith. That's where the answer to why is. You reign. You ancient Zion's king. Kadosh. Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. There's no time.
You reign,
you ancient Zion's king.
Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
That's what we call supernatural speed. Supernatural speed. See, they can be doing it before you came. It don't matter. The Bible said the hand of God came upon Elijah. He outran the chariots of Ahab unto Jezreel. It's called supernatural speed. It doesn't matter what they were doing. When you come, the rules will change. He said the years that the canker worm has eaten, the years the caterpillar worm has eaten, the Lord has a system of restoration. It's called supernatural speed. It doesn't matter when the guy gave his heart to Christ. Maybe he was in Christ for 30 years before he began to prophesy. There's a system in God. It's called supernatural speed. When you come tomorrow, you will professor. His spirit. There's not because supernatural favor.
Five people can come for the interview, they bounce them. Your case is different because we walk by different set of rules. I don't want to know how many people the person bounced. My case is different. I admit it from my mind. I know it like I know my name. My case is different. I don't follow the rules that men set. I walk by the laws of heaven. If even the rich among you, they shall entreat thy favor. Israel was in captivity for 430 years. And then the next thing Moses comes and he said, go and tell the Egyptians to give you their gold. What do you mean? These are the people torturing us for 430 years. How can we go and tell them to give us their gifts? And the Bible said the Israelites spoiled the Egyptians because an economy was activated. It's the law of supernatural things. They said people don't go there. They don't allow people. Not my case, brother. Not me. Not me. Not me. Do you know the only thing I look out for? I just want to make sure I'm in the center of God's will. Because if I am there, I'm dangerous. I've been preaching for about 13 years. God never told me to give anybody my message or do anything. I go and preach, I don't even collect the message. In 2018, December, the Holy Ghost came and told me, he said, I want to begin to announce it. And then by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he said, cut out portions of your message. And I cut out 6 messages, 5 minutes, 6 minutes. I call them the Puritan capsule. When I put it on my Telegram, in 11 days, the message went to 7 nations of the world. It's called supernatural speed. 7 nations of the world. There were 5 minutes. On the 14th day, somebody called me from Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the United States of America, and gave me an invitation to come and minister in August. He said a friend sent my clip to him from Turkey. Those 13 years, God said, stay here. But when he begins to announce you, go out with audacity. Because the one that sent you, he said, go in this time, might. People were opening YouTube pages, uploading the messages. This message I'm preaching now, if I put it in 3 days, you will see 5,000 views. I don't know them. I've received calls from close to 10 nations of the world in 32 days. It's supernatural speed. Be audacious about your destiny. Your acting gentle will not help you. You will only get the people praise you and say you are humble. Your destiny will perish. Paul said, if I be a servant of men, I'm not a servant of God. Some of you do things so that men can applaud you. It's a waste of life. Be the center of God's will and follow his instructions. And when you do it with audacity. Do it with confidence. I'm not saying go and be arrogant. I'm saying stand on the word of God. Whatever God tells you, stake your heart to it. Stake your life to it. It's not unjust to let you die. You win. Kadosh, Kadosh,
you are mighty on your throne.
I'm going to minister to the sick in 5 minutes. And I'll tell you how we'll do it. I've shown you how to exercise your dominion and your authority. I'll call my friend Makete to come up, give us a song in the next 3 minutes. After that, this is how we are going to do it. When I sense the anointing moving, the people who are sick, those standing next to them, we begin to minister to them. And then you will see strange things here. That is when you realize that it's not about men, it's about God. Michael. Yes, let me set you up today. I'm on the mic. 5 minutes. Let him, you know, this man wants to open heaven. How many people are sick here? Can you wave? You don't need to tell us what's wrong with you. You know, read the Bible for yourself. Jesus never asked anybody what is wrong with you. The Bible says he healed those that had need for healing. Don't bother about what's wrong with them.
The power of God is intelligent. How many people are sick? Let me see your hand. Look around you. Look around you. If somebody is sick, you will minister to him. You are his partner. Sister, you will minister to him. Bro, you will minister to her. Dijala, minister to him. Man of God, you will minister to him. And then when they pray, we'll find out you are healed. Now, it's about the power of God. It's not about a man. Mama, you minister to her. Sister Anne, you minister to her. Sister, minister to her. You, minister to her. If you don't know what to say, say be healed in Jesus' name. Who else? Bro, minister to her. Bro, minister to that brother. So after I can say ministers, you, minister to him. If the atmosphere is charged, then we'll begin our ministrations. Some of us who don't have people to minister to will begin to worship. Sir, let's fly.
You ancient Zion's King, we cry out Kadosh. See, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. We cry out Kadosh. See, you are mighty on your throne. Break forth, ye fountains of the deep, cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. Break forth, ye fountains of the deep, cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne, El Gipo. You are mighty on your throne, Akumesha. You are mighty on your throne, Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are mighty on your throne, the resurrected one. You are the spirit of worship, and the resurrected one. You are the spirit of worship. El Gipo, El Riot, and El Diot, El Dai, Elohim. We press forward to worship you. Oh, 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 we cry. The spirit of worship. You are glorious beyond the creeds. Eternity. You are the spirit of worship. We cry. We cry. shadaba. Ina kendo kidi balatenda laba. Ila kamale kobele kobele to. Ila kamale kobele kabale. Ina kamana tele kobo, sele kobo, sele kobo te. Ia kanande dobelo sabala. Ila kobane taba. Living waters, shala kabada. Living waters, ina kabada. Living waters, let me drown in you. Zekabala dabada. Ile kobala sanade. Ila kobala sanade. Ile kobala te la sada. Ile kobala tanede. Ila komane to senane. Ila komene mana sadabada. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow tonight. There is a fountain who sings the glad, the city of our God. Ayana Kobe Salada da 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 da. Lift up your voice and cry. Ila Kobala Satanama. Yekobelo de la Kaba. Ila Kobala da 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 de Salagahaba. Ila Kobele Kobala Salaha. Aha! 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 Akumesha! 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 Ayala kema la tada. Ila kobeto bala shada dada. You are my healer, you are my keeper. My restorer, my life giver. You are the living God.
Go ahead, I begin to minister to
them. Say no one.
You are supposed to minister to somebody. Begin to minister to them now. Begin to minister to them now. Go ahead.
Take over.
You don't need to distract them from
the spirit. Take over.
You must lay hand on their head.
Take over. Spirit, take over. I cannot do it by myself. Ah, Holy Spirit, take over. Take over. Holy Spirit, take over. I cannot know you by myself. Eletumare, take over.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. This is not a bid to break scriptural provisions. The Bible said the less is blessed for the greater. This is not a blessing. This is people carrying out prophetic instructions. That was why John the Baptist went ahead and baptized Jesus, even though Jesus had no stature. It is a present revelation position of the Spirit. You are sick in your body now. Those who are supposed to minister to them, just hold their hands. You mustn't put up on their head. Begin to pray. Make declarations. Release the healing power over them now. The power of God is about to begin to fall. Those of you who have not even been prayed for, as the man of God minister now, the power of God will begin to rest on people. The power of God. So begin to rest on people.
Anna shot and a brooch. Come on, Shana, no brooch. I have found. the place where I can find my rest is the holy presence of the Lord. Yeah, I have found a place where I can find my rest is the holy presence of the living. Yeah, I have found a place where I can find my rest is the holy presence of the Lord. I have found a place where I can find my rest in the holy presence of the Lord. I have come from the throne room of the Lord. I have come from the of the heavens and the earth. I have lifted up my eyes unto the Lord. I have lifted up my eyes unto the Lord. I have come from the throne of the Lord. Lifted up my eyes unto the Lord. I have lifted up my eyes unto the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't pray anymore. Just lift. Just lift your hands toward heaven now. Open your heart. I want to transfer the healing anointing. You catch it in your heart. You catch it in your heart. Holy Spirit. Men must rise that we carry virtue into their worlds. Virtue, tangible virtue. We travel now to preach in places we don't know the people. We don't know the doctrine they believe. So it takes an anointing to break through the yoke. And we see results to overwhelm us. Some of us traveled in pursuit of the anointing because we knew it is not a way of psychic men. It's a tangible thing. I pursue the men that have it in order to get it. I've received the impartation from Reverend Chris Akilo. I've received the impartation from Apostle Aaron Osa. I've received the impartation from Benny Hinn. He said, freely you have received, freely give. I'm not trying to psych you. I will pray for you. You go and pray for the sick and you see things happen. I was in Lagos for an class meeting. I knelt in his front. He laid hands on me. He said, walk in the glory realm. So when we have audacity to enter dark places, we know we have received something from the Lord. You may not need to travel in search of Pastor Chris, travel in search of Paul Nature, travel in search of Benny Hinn. It's an economy, a system in the spirit. When a man has something, he can give to others. If a man cannot give except the things he received from the Lord. So when you receive, it's your responsibility to give it. So that kingdom can be advanced. Most of you that we receive, you will walk in dimensions we can't imagine. Because there is a room for overtaking in the spirit. And different people are crafted differently. Just ask the Lord for an anointing. Ask the Lord for the anointing. Ask the Lord for the anointing. Some of you are sick. Your family members are sick. Brethren are sick. It's time to begin to minister him. Thank you, Father. The hour has come. Don't miss out. Don't pray anymore so you don't distract yourself. Jesus came to Jerusalem. He lamented over the people. He said, because thou knowest not the times of thy visitation. You can miss out on your hour. Even Jesus himself can't help you. Precious Holy Spirit, this is the confidence that we have in you. That when we ask, you hear us. And if you hear, then we know we receive the petition for which we have asked. Father, stretch your hands now. Begin to anoint. Anoint, Lord. Anoint the hands of people with the healing oil. Anoint the hearts of men. Touch, Holy Spirit. Manda Braska. Help the brother so that we keep it calm. Touch, Holy Spirit. Measures of the Spirit. Dimensions in God. Possibilities in the Spirit. I release it upon you. Don't be distracted. Why are you looking at the person God is working on?
I just want to be where you are.
As your heart approaches God now, the oil will begin to flow. The oil, it will begin to flow. Some of you are people that never imagined that God will use you for anything. It's an anointing. It's an anointing. It flows in your direction. Michael, help me now.
The oil. I just wanna be where you are.
All you need to do is to ask the Lord.
Dwelling daily in your presence.
Breathe on them, Holy Spirit.
Take me to the place where you are.
The power of God. Hey.
I just want
angels
to be with you.
God is transferring gifts now. Virtues. If you are sensitive,
I just want to be.
You will sense it on your body like electricity. You will sense it. Literally.
In your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are.
Holy Spirit.
I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. Your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place
you
where you
are.
I just want to be where you. I just want to be where you are. In your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be. I just want to be where you are. Dwelling daily in your presence. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you.
We need empowerment.
I want to be where you are.
There are spirits threatening our existence.
Dwelling in your presence.
Spirits.
Feasting at your table. Surrounded by your glory. in your presence. That's where I always want to be.
Help those under the power.
I just want to be.
Thank you, brother.
I just want to be.
You need mercy. Thank you, brother.
Take me to the place where you were. In your dwelling place forever. I don't want to worship from above.
Take!
Show me to where. We wait on you.
A prophetic spirit.
Lord, we wait on
water.
You. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you, Lord. Lord, we wait on you. You wait on you. Yeah. Lord, we wait on you. Sweet Holy Spirit, we wait on you. Lord, we wait. You are Yahweh. 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 Alpha, Omega.
Pain on the abdomen, and the pain is gone. and the brother is not known.
Couldn't find you.
We don't know him. He's just part of the believers in the body of Christ. Check yourself if you are believed. Send in the testimony. We don't have time. As you came forward now, just lift your hands and give thanks to God. Yours may have started. The process continues. As you give thanks, it comes to fruition. Hallelujah.
Nobody's greater. No, nobody's greater than you. Nobody great. Nobody great. Nobody great. Nobody greater than you.
Nobody great.
Yes, one more.
Nobody greater than you.
One more time. Nobody.